My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message this morning is Running from Mission Work. Our text, Matthew 12, verses 38 through 41. In most of our Bibles, the words of Jesus are in red for added emphasis. The parables and illustrations he used are of vital importance to the believer. During his earthly ministry, Jesus referred to the Old Testament 33 times. One Old Testament character Jesus referred to was the prophet Jonah. The book of Jonah deals with one of the real problems the people of God have always faced, and that is the relationship of God's people to all other people. On the one hand, we must have an uncompromising attitude towards truth, while at the same time possessing a Christ-like care, concern, and love for other people. The book of Jonah is a picture of God's redeemed people running from mission work, and to a certain extent, we have not stopped running. This sermon is a continuation of James's first devotional here at Culpeper about the urgency of seeking and saving the lost. Over the next 2 weeks, we will consider some lessons from Jonah chapter 1 that will help us carry the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. This ancient city was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. God told Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." The question has been asked, what about people living in foreign lands who do not have a Bible? Are they accountable to God? Here is an example of people outside of Judaism who were guilty of sin. If these people could be saved without a knowledge of the truth and apart from God's scheme of redemption, why did God send Jonah to them? And if the people of Nineveh, once saved, were always saved, then God was unjust to destroy them 100 years later for returning to a life of sin. Nahum chapters 1 through 3. The reason Jonah was to cry out against Nineveh was because their wickedness had come up before God. This is not the first time the stench of man's sins ascended from earth to heaven. The voice of Abel's blood, the violence that filled the earth in the days of Noah, and the sinful behavior of Sodom all cried out to God for judgment. What about Israel's sin in the Old Testament? Ezra chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "And I said, Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been very guilty, and for our iniquities, we, our kings, and our priests have been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, and to humiliation, as it is this day." What about this sinful world in which we live? Is God pleased with the thousands of abortions that take place every day? Does God agree with the recent court decision legalizing sinful behavior that is against nature? One of the consequences of sin entering into the world is sickness, disease, and death. Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Could the trouble we find ourselves in be God's judgment on a sinful world? Knowing that sickness and calamity could strike at any moment, how important is it to be in a right relationship with God through repentance, scriptural baptism, and walking in the light? answer more important than taking our next breath. The good news this morning is that forgiveness of sins is available through repentance, scriptural baptism, which is obeying the gospel. There are only two things that can be done with sin. Either it is forgiven or punished. There are only two destinations of men: God's salvation or eternal destruction. The city of Nineveh was on the verge of destruction because of their sin. Suppose no one had carried God's saving message to the city. What would have happened? Jonah's mission was urgent. His refusal to preach was tragic beyond measure. The most urgent business of the church is to preach the gospel to a world that is lost. We have a responsibility to help people see and understand that here is your choice: to give up sin and obey the gospel or be lost forever. God told Jonah to go and cry out against the wickedness of the city. He did not fail to obey God's command because he didn't understand it. Jonah clearly understood what God wanted him to do. The reason we fail to obey God's commandments is not because we don't understand them, but because we put our will before his will. I'm willing to do what God wants me to do as long as it doesn't interfere with what I want to do. In the model prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Can you imagine God telling an angel to go on a mission and the angel saying, "I'm not going to do it"? Can you imagine an angel telling God, "I'll get to it after a while"? The people that go to heaven are the ones who say, "Where he leads through his word, I will follow. I may stumble and fail, but I'm going to do my best to obey his commandments." Is God's will first and foremost in our lives? When we understand the clear commandments of God, do we hesitate and procrastinate? Unless we learn this lesson from Jonah, we will be lost. Instead of being a faithful watchman who warned the wicked not to sin, Jonah tries to flee from the presence of God. After the first sin in the garden, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Where did they get the idea that they could hide from God? Answer: Satan said, "God can't see you behind that tree." Well, we know it was a lie. Where did Jonah get the idea that he could flee from God's presence? Answer: Satan said, "God can't see you in the hull of that boat." But God and the fish knew where he was. From this we learn that we cannot escape the presence of God. Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 12. Yet how many people today are trying to avoid God by not reading their Bible, failing to worship God in spirit and in truth on Sunday, refusing to be baptized for the remission of sins, or believing that God will not punish our sins? God, help us not to be deceived, but understand that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, because God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Jonah found a ship going to Tarshish. Was this a blessing from God or a trap of Satan? We cannot always measure right by what seems to be success. When we are headed in the wrong direction, it's easy to mistake open doors for God's blessings. So he paid the fare and went down into the boat. Look at the inconsistency in this picture. Jonah did not like the people of Nineveh because they were not of Abraham's descendants. But who was he on the boat with? Israelites? No, a bunch of heathen Gentiles. These Gentiles were ignorant of God and His will, therefore they were in rebellion against God. Jonah knew the will of God and deliberately rebelled against His will. What's the difference between Jonah and these Gentiles that he despised? In fact, who's in worse shape? Suppose God had let Jonah and the sailors drown in the sea, and both groups had gone to the judgment bar of God. Would Jonah have fared any better than these Gentiles because he had Abraham's blood in his veins? Not at all. Both the sailors and Jonah were living in rebellion and rejected God's will. Can members of the Lord's church reject God's will? We pity the person who is outside of Christ. Yet do I refuse to live a Christ-like life? Jonah worked harder at not doing what God told him to do than going to Nineveh. This is just like believing the theory of evolution. It takes more faith to believe the Big Bang theory than it does Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whenever we set out to disobey God, we end up with more problems, difficulty in work. Jonah was not only trying to run away from God, he was trying to run away from himself. If he did not want to preach to these people, why didn't he just tell God to get someone else and then stay home? In 2 Kings chapter 14, Jonah obeyed God's command to prophesy to Jeroboam the second. Why would he have a problem obeying God's command to preach repentance to the Assyrians? Answer, Jonah did not like these people. Jonah knew that God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents from doing harm. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. He wanted Israel to have